Let's go to God in a word of prayer, and then we will look into God's word. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we do pray that you would work in our hearts. Father, we pray that you would open our eyes, that we would not become dull of hearing. Lord, that our eyes would affect our hearts, and that our hearts would cause us to obey and to do that which we see you want us to. Lord, we thank you for your provision and your goodness to us, seen in everything around us, from the good food that we have to eat, to the rain that you provide and the sunshine, and Lord, the protection on the roads, and Lord, so many answers to prayer. Father, we thank you for your goodness to us in providing us missionaries who are ready and willing to stand and to answer the call. And Lord, we ask specifically for the Dagans this morning that you would bless them. And we thank you for the provision that you've already made. And we ask, Lord, that you would continue and you would allow us to find a vehicle for them soon. And Lord, we ask these things that your name be praised. Amen. Into the book of Mark, we have been going through chapter 1. We've been still going through chapter 1 of the Gospel of Mark. And last week we saw how Jesus began to heal and that his intention was to help those who were around him. It was a means of him forwarding his ministry. It was miraculous to heal those who were sick and to cast out devils. And we saw last week that Jesus didn't want to have the praise of that which was evil. He didn't want the ones who were possessed by demons to praise him, even if they were saying the correct thing, because it was a bad tool that was speaking. It was an evil pitcher pouring out good water. That is not a good thing. If you have a glass that's all dirty and crusty, and you put clean water into it, the water's dirty and crusty. It's no longer clean. And this is the same thing here. The demons were crying out, "You're Jesus, you're the Holy One." And Jesus said, don't you dare speak of me, because you are evil. This then brings us to Mark chapter 1. We'll begin reading in verse 35. "And in the morning, rising up a great while before the day, he went out and departed into a solitary place, and there prayed. And Simon and they that were with him followed after him. And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek for thee. And he said unto them, Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee and cast out devils. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed." We have here Jesus. We have him forwarding his ministry. We have Jesus continually striking out unto new areas. During the course of his few years of ministry, Jesus travels all over Israel, the nation of Israel, but he comes back to some of the same places again and again. We'll find that in chapter 2. He comes back to Capernaum. So he hits there twice in a fairly short amount of time. But here Jesus is not content with going back to the people who were seeking for him. Instead, he's going to reach out to those who had not yet heard him. In verse 37, the disciples, that is Simon Peter and the others that were with him, they cry out, All men seek for thee. This is all of those who had heard of him, but specifically from around, what city? Is it Capernaum? That's where they were before. Yeah. Making sure I'm not getting it mixed up here. Yeah, from Capernaum. All of them from that city. They're all coming. They're all coming into that area. And Jesus, instead of going back there, he is outside of the city and he says, now it's time for us to go to the next city, the next town, that I may preach there also. This is his purpose. His aim is not to be content with those who are already rescued. And I hope you do enjoy the fellowship of Christians, that you make time to sit down with them, to talk with them, to share a meal, to enjoy their company and to be drawn closer to God. But we should not rest. We should always be looking. There's someone out there who needs to know about Jesus. There's someone who needs to hear the message that Jesus came to preach, the message of the kingdom at hand. There's more who need to be reached. If we imagine at this point Jesus turning back and going, he could have solidified his base, them becoming his hometown, his sending area, and he could have had a huge impact there. That's true. But then everyone would not have had the opportunity to hear him preach. Because not everyone can leave the town where they're at to come and hear Jesus. Not everyone has the strength to walk. In fact, many of the people who he was going to preach to, they were lame and blind. There was no way they could go from all the corners of the nation of Israel to reach that one city that Jesus was in. No, he needed to go to where they were. He needed to reach out to them where they were. And he preached then in many different towns. We find in verse 39, this is a summary of a large amount of the ministry of Jesus. He preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee. This is a large region. You had Judea, and then you had the northern area of Israel, which was mostly Galilee, around that Sea of Galilee. And it was this huge region with many different towns and cities. And he went everywhere throughout there, preaching in their synagogues. That was his thing. He went and he found those who were interested in following God, and he said, you want to know something more amazing? The kingdom of God is now. It's at hand. It's right here, ready to be grasped. That's what he was preaching. While he was there, he continued his ministry of casting out devils. But then we get another healing. We saw last week that Simon's wife's mother, that is, Peter's mother-in-law, had a fever, and she was the first one healed there. But then we have a detailed healing also listed here in verses 40 and following. And this one is very unique. In order to understand it first, we must understand what leprosy is and was. Leprosy was a disease, a skin disease, and it was very contagious. It was something that could be caught by touching someone who had it. It could be passed along. It included many different types of these diseases that would eat away at the skin and then at the flesh underneath it. In fact, if someone had a bad case of leprosy, they might lose their limbs. Their hands or their arms or their feet might rot off. It was a horrible disease. But not only that, God had said lepers were not to be touched. They were not to be handled. They were to stay apart. They were to cry out, I'm unclean, I'm leprous, don't come near, so that no one else would be infected. Jesus then does something in light of that that is unusual in verse 41. He sees a leper, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. He put forth his hand and touched him. Now, when someone is sick, it's nice to hold their hand, right? But when someone has a disease that you might catch, that is likely you're going to catch. That if you touch, then you're unclean and you have to quarantine. How likely are you to do it? What would cause Jesus to go to the great lengths of putting forth his hand and touching this leprous man? Is it the fact that Jesus didn't know what was going on? Did Jesus not understand that he was ceremonially unclean? That he was at risk of the disease if he touched this leprous man? No. Jesus was not unknowing. Instead, we find his motivation given for us at the beginning of the verse. It says, Jesus was moved with compassion. All through the book of Mark, I hope that you will begin with me to clarify or to clear up the picture that we have of Jesus. Because all of us do this in our minds, don't we? We've got some idea in our head of what Jesus was like, what he looked like, what he did, what he said, and we kind of have an idea of his personality and of his motivations. But all through the book of Mark, I think we will be challenged to truly understand what it was that motivated him in each action. This is for two reasons. Number one, if we have the wrong idea of Jesus, then we will be worshiping another Jesus and not him. Secondly, if we see him more clearly, then we can be like him better. We can be more like him. What motivated Jesus in this instance was his compassion. He saw this leprous man and he knew his heartache. The fact that he couldn't be close to his family. The fact that he couldn't hold down most normal jobs. The fact that he was kept at arm's length. I don't know about you guys, but during COVID, probably the worst thing that I saw was the fact that people were kept apart. Families had loved ones who died and they weren't able to say goodbyes. They weren't able to see them or go to the funeral. They were kept at great distance from them. And it wasn't because they lacked the desire, but because they were being forced apart. Here, this leprous man was kept distant from everyone around him. Many lepers ended up living in colonies by themselves outside the gates. They would group together because if this guy is leprous and this guy is leprous, then they can be friends together and they don't have to worry about the fact that they're making the other person unclean. And so they could all live outside of the city together. They were pariahs. They were set apart, but not in a good way. They were set apart in a very horrible way. And Jesus saw that and he was moved with compassion. Do you know Jesus is not hard-hearted? He is not set in stone. He is living. And when he sees that which causes his heart to break, and he is then moved with compassion, it compels him. It propels him to do what he needs to do, to meet that need. This should be our heart as well, one that is not indifferent to those around us, but one that is able to be moved with compassion. We have Jesus healing this man. I want us to look at what this man said in verse 40. This leper came towards him and knelt down to Jesus, begging him, saying, "If thou wilt," that is, "if you're willing, Jesus, you can make me clean." That was his statement. If you're willing, Jesus, you can make me clean. I want us to notice a couple things about this statement. Number one, this leprous man was not saying, "I'm sinless, I don't deserve this result of sin in my life." Because every evil thing in this world is a result of sin. You know, when you prick your finger on a thorn, you know who you have to blame? our own sin nature. You can point to Adam and Eve. The sin was sin cursed the earth with thorns. When you have a sickness or a disease, that is the curse at work. It is because of sin. And this man is not saying, I am sinless, therefore I should not be suffering. No, he kneels before Jesus and says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You can make me clean. This is a great deal of faith. With some of the other miracles, like someone who has a fever or someone who has has some other sickness, but not a damaged part of their body, you might think, oh, Jesus could heal them and they can be fully healed. You know, a blind person, he touches their eyes and they can see. You know, that's pretty amazing. But here is, as it were, body being rebuilt. To be cleansed from leprosy was to have the leprosy gone and the skin to be regrown. You were not clean from leprosy until fresh skin was growing again. This means what he expected Jesus to be able to do was a miracle. It wasn't just he'll make me feel better. It was, if Jesus is willing, he can change the whole thing and reverse the effects of sin in my life. He can reverse the destruction of this disease. Jesus then, after he had touched this man, he said, I will, be thou clean. Jesus is willing to clean us up. He is willing to take those parts of our life that are damaged and to turn them around so that they are now able to perform the correct function. He is able to take the wounded heart and make it to sing again. This is our God. He is able to do this. Jesus here shows a great deal of power. Jesus' compassion also shows us that he was not afraid of the results or the cause of all the destruction in this world. He was not afraid of the sin that had brought the disease into this world, nor was he afraid of the disease itself. He reached out and touched this man who was leprous, and he knew, that is, Jesus knew, that that leprosy wasn't going to latch onto him. Instead, his righteousness, goodness, would be imparted to that man. He could clean that man from that sin and restore him. That's probably a good word to use in here. Restore. He restored this man. Now, he would not be a pariah set apart. He would not be one who have to cry out, I'm unclean, I'm leprous, don't come near me. He would not have to stay far away from family and friends. Instead, he could be restored to the full fellowship and friendships that he had had before. We have Jesus then telling this leper what he should do. This leprous man, he's not leprous anymore, but I don't have his name, so we're going to still call him that. The former leper man. In verse 43, Jesus straitly charged him. That is, he constrained him. He said, look, I'm going to tell you something you can't do. And he sent him away. What was it that he told this leper that he could not do? In verse 44, Jesus said unto him, see that thou say nothing to any man, but instead go thy way and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing the things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. We have here Jesus' commandment. His rule for this leprous man was, Don't speak about what has happened. Instead, go to the priest and be a testimony unto them. We have here Jesus' reasoning for telling this man not to speak. And it's a very different reasoning than Jesus telling the evil spirits not to speak. The same result, he didn't want them to speak, but different motivations. You see, with the evil spirits, they were cups full of wickedness pouring good or truth out. And Jesus said no to that because it was evil praising that which is perfect. But here, Jesus' motivation for commanding this man not to tell everyone, but instead to fulfill the requirements of the law, was so that it would be a testimony unto them. And at this point, we have to ask us, who's the them? Who's the them that this was going to be a testimony to if he's not telling anyone? Well, it was to the priests. You see, the priests were meant to look, and if someone said, my leprosy is stopped, and look, it's healing over, then the priest would look and see that it was, and he would say, okay, it looks like the leprosy is done. And if need be, they'd be like, I'm not sure if it is, and they would mark out where it was and shave the hairs off around it, if it was in the hair, things like that, and they'd say, nope, it hasn't grown, and the skin is healed over it. Your leprosy has been healed, and now we can wash you. You can have some ceremonies and rejoin the nation of Israel in all of their worship to God. But just imagine how rare this would have been. Most of the time when leprosy begins, it doesn't stop. It may take years before it ever gets to the point that it kills someone, but it generally doesn't stop. It generally continues. And if it did stop at some point, and the man came and they would come in with their disfigured body, and they would show that the leprosy had gone this far and no further, and God had healed them. But this man would be so different. Because remember, Jesus has cleansed him from his leprosy. It's not just that it's no longer white spotty or eating away the skin. It's that there's new skin. It's as if he never had leprosy. And so to the priest's eyes, here comes a man who says, I was leprous. Don't you remember? And now I'm free of it. And they say, oh, well, let's look at it. Oh, there's no spots. There's no raw scars. It's completely healed. It's back to new again. It's totally fixed. How did this happen? If that had occurred to you, if you were the priest there who was assessing this, I'm sure you probably would have been like, wait there, I need to get a consult. And brought another priest with you to say, now this is that guy, right? He was leprous, and now he's not just not leprous, he's completely healed. His body is completely cleansed from leprosy and the effects of it. What is going on here? And they would have praised God, and they would have been open and ready to hear Jesus. Because I'm sure at that point, he would not be able to hide what had happened and say, there was a man named Jesus who touched me when I was a leper, and I became clean immediately. This was to be a testimony unto them. Not only that this cleansing was complete, but also that Jesus was not turning his back on the Old Testament. He wasn't saying Moses was a bad man and all of those rules and laws in the Old Testament were evil. No, Fulfill all of it. Do every single part of it. That's what he was doing. He was following all that the Israelites were being commanded and doing more and doing better. This was our Jesus. Well, we find the leper's response, and it's hard to know how to feel when reading a verse like this, because in one sense, I don't know how I would have obeyed Jesus' command. In another sense, and so I understand how the leper just went everywhere, but at the same time, how hard it would be knowing that Jesus had saved me and rescued me from this horrible curse of leprosy and restored for me not just a relationship between me and God, an ability to go into the temple and offer sacrifices, but also to restore unto me all of my friends and family. Like, this is, it's an amazing thing, but if Jesus had commanded me something, I would want to hope I would listen and obey. But we're going to read here what the leper did. It says, "But he went out and began to publish it much and blaze abroad the matter." And that word blaze is like for something to catch fire. That's like a wildfire, okay? He was publishing it abroad until it caught fire and everyone was talking about it, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but had to withdraw out to the desert places, and everyone would come to him. One other point of note here. Simon, James, John, Andrew, they're followers of Jesus at this point. We know that, right? They are trying to serve and help and learn from Jesus. But who is it that is the first one who goes out to make Jesus known in such a way that it just is, it can't be contained? This leper. This should encourage us that we can take Jesus with us to other people in such a way that it catches fire for them, that it is something everyone has to hear about. Here, this man did not listen to and obey Jesus. Not exactly. He published it abroad to everyone. He couldn't keep silent. You and I are in, or were in, the same state as this leper. We were alienated from all that we should have been connected to. We were damaged. We were sick. We were alone. And then, when we meet Jesus, if we beg him to, he will clean us completely. He will change our lives as much as he changed this leper's. I have to ask you, Christian, where is your fervor? Where is that burning that is lighting fire for everyone else? Good kind of fire. Where's that excitement that says, I know I shouldn't talk right now, but you know what? I got to talk about Jesus. Where's that, you know what? I'm on a mission. I'm going to go every place I can. I'm not just going to stay home with my faith. I'm going to make sure everybody has opportunity to hear it. Where is our love of Jesus? You see, we could summarize verse 45 with that. This man had a great deal of love for Jesus. He loved what he had received from Jesus, and he cared about Jesus' ministry so much that he wanted everybody to know what Jesus had done and what Jesus had taught, and he wanted them to go hear Jesus for themselves, and so he could not be stopped. He had to go out and tell others. This is what love will make you do. It'll make you show how wonderful the one you love is. Jesus showed his compassion, his love towards this man, and then this man turned in equal measure showed his great love and devotion towards Jesus, even if he could have improved his ears a little bit to obey what Jesus needed at the time. His fervor is not to be condemned, but rather his ability to obey Jesus. That's the only thing we need to not copy here in this picture. So here we have Jesus telling this man not to proclaim it everywhere, not because he didn't want people to know about him, but because he wanted them to encounter his message and his person first, and not his reputation only. He wanted them to come seeking him that their souls might be filled and their bodies healed, not just for their bodies to be healed. And so we find Jesus could no longer enter in to any city because there was too many people wanting to hear him. We'll go briefly into chapter 2. There's a tie-in from chapter 2 and verse 1 and the middle of Mark chapter 1. And again he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. Here we have Jesus entering back into the city of Capernaum. And if you wanted to look in verse 21 of chapter 1, that is where Jesus entered right after he had met with Simon, Andrew, James, and John on the shore of Galilee. And this was one of the first places that he proclaimed the message of the kingdom of God. So here he is, he's come back into this city. You might get the picture that this could be like the next day or maybe a year later. We don't know exactly. It says in verse 1 of chapter 2 that this was after some days. We're not told how long it took. He went into many different cities of Galilee, many different cities. He had gone through all of their synagogues all throughout Galilee, gone to lots of towns. And now he was come back to Capernaum. This was the hometown for Simon and Andrew, at the very least. And here he comes, and he enters in there. And I want us to see that everyone was still listening for him. They were excited to know about him. It was noise that he was in the house. And straightway, many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. No, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. When Jesus came to Capernaum the first time, he went into the synagogue, and he was just another guy. Nobody knew anything about him. He brought with him a few friends. But then, after he's been preaching, and after demons have been cast out and lepers healed and other events and going to all these other towns, he comes back and he can't even have a night's sleep without being bombarded with the huge numbers of people. So many that they couldn't come in at the door. We have a really good attendance here at church. And it's exciting and it's encouraging, but we're not having to turn people away at the door because there's not room to stand. Jesus had that kind of effect. So we can say, God, give us more. God, help us to reach out to more people. Jesus here is standing and there was no room, and he's preaching the word. He's preaching it to them. And they're listening. Notice there were a number of people who were there for no other reason than to hear Jesus, to see him. Maybe some of these were ones who had heard about the leper or the demon being cast out. Or they had heard that Jesus had gone from city to city to city, town to town, all throughout Galilee. And they thought, well, he must have something good to say if he keeps going and he keeps getting more people to come listen to him. And so they all came. out of curiosity or out of need, and they could not even get close to him because there were so many. We don't have time today to begin this story of the palsied man, and we will get to that. But we need to see that Jesus was busy, and he didn't stop. You see, for you and I, we often think, okay, we've handed out a tract, or maybe we've gone to the markets. You know, that happened once. Or maybe we letterboxed out went and knocked on every door in our neighborhood, met our neighbors, and then told them about the church and told them about Jesus. And then we say, okay, I've done it. Now I can sit back. No, we should do like Jesus. He went and he did all of Galilee, and then he started right back again and went back to the same places again, because there are more who have not heard. There are more who have not been helped. You and I have many friends, neighbors, or coworkers who need Jesus. We need to pursue them. We need to chase them down. If they're moving away from us, then we need to follow after. If we need to go to the next town to find them, we do so. And then we come back home and circle back to begin again. Don't give up. Don't stop. Don't think, okay, I've covered everything once. That's enough. But be ready to come back again and again until the message is heard, received. Until those who are sick are healed. Until that which was ruined by the fall and by sin has been restored and is now a testimony for God itself. So as we close this morning, let us have the enthusiasm of the leper, not the punishment of the sin, the curse that was on the leper. Let us go again and again to those in need. And once we've gone all the way through, let's start again. Fourth time, fifth time, 100th time. Don't give up. Keep going to those who need Jesus. And he will have compassion on them, just as he did on you, just as he did on this leper. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Father, we come to you. We thank you for your love, which was shown to us when Jesus came and died on the cross. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you did not have a heart of stone, woodenly obeying like a robot, but that you came with a heart that was moved by the plight of those who were hurting, those who were damaged, those who are under the curse. And Lord, we thank you that you are able, not just were able, but you are able to rescue us, to heal us completely in such a way that our very healing is a testimony to those around us. Father, we ask that you would make your life shine through us so much that people only see you and they don't see us. That your message is the only message on our lips, and that your praise is forever sounding. And Lord, we ask these things, that your name be praised both now and forever. Amen.